This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good morning. It seems to be an axe grinding Thursday on the morning show.
Say what you said again.
Terse and truculent.
Terse and truculent.
Terse truculent?
Truck.
Just kind of disagreeable and grouchy, basically.
Truculent.
I'm not grouchy.
I like that.
Do you truculent. Know, I'll be 100% with y'all.
Is there a K in there? Truculent.
Today is the best mood I've been in all week.
I can confirm.
Yeah, no, this is
kick the dog Thursday.
My grandmother had a knack for this. Like she was never in a bad mood per se. She was just 100% honest and curt with you. You know, she wouldn't mince words. Yeah, she didn't mince words.
She was, what was the word you used for yourself the other day? She was real.
That's right.
It was real.
I'm all real.
You were talking about. I told you I had some gears to grind too. I got to tell y'all, man. I read a book to my son last night before bed, I would love to know. And Rob, you're the perfect person to ask this question to. What exact drugs was Dr. Seuss on when he was writing these freaking books, dude? I'm just telling you. I read a book last night to my son called Hop on Pop. And I felt like I was on drugs by the time I got done with it. I texted my wife. I was still in my son's room. And I said, throw this book into the recycle bin because I am never reading this thing again. It was like 100 pages of tongue twisters.
Oh, read your kid Shel Silverstein then.
Dude, I mean, and I have that Where the Sidewalk Ends. I got that one in the repertoire too, man.
Well, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like when you go to I don't want to get down this whole wormhole, but like the founding fathers of our country, and then you look at how they, you know, the things they did and some of the things, and then you look at like money. Like, look at a dollar bill. Like, I know that this is literally on that movie Days Confused, but there's a lot of things going on in a dollar bill. A lot of things.
Oh, the eye above the pyramid?
The eye above the pyramid. Eye, yeah. I mean, that's like, there's you can go down wormholes.
That's Freemasonry.
Yeah, it is, but there's wormholes of what those beliefs are and all kind of, like, what the meanings of some of those. I know you've been down these wormholes, Rob, because I know you've done acid and looked at a dollar bill before. So,
oh, yeah. And most of your dollar bills probably have a little cocaine sediment on them, too.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing when we go cashless? When we go cashless, how can we do our blow?
Well, that's what's – well, you know what? And guess the other thing. Paper straws don't last as long either. So you're going to – they're getting rid of the plastic straws because of the turtles. –
I just have a little Dan Marino spoon around my neck, then, I guess.
Where are we at?
I don't know. Well, I'm just.
What day is it, Rob?
I just let you lead me.
What day is it? Drive the boat.
That's the blind leading the blind, if I've ever heard it.
What is the fair or foul theme today?
Well, we don't have fair or foul. It's Thursday.
I'm sorry. Thursday. The mic'd up.
Mic'd up is going to be about this UNLV quarterback. With all the craziness going on in that situation. I got some serious thoughts on that about who's right and who's wrong.
Well, there can both be wrong.
Well, we don't have to go into it right now. That's why it's in Mic'd Up later today.
Well, you're just chomping at the bit.
It's
an hour and 40 minutes away or 33 minutes away. I think we can touch on it.
Right, which is the build-up.
I think we can touch on it.
Hour and a half.
I just think that there's certain people in this whole situation that always think they've got it all figured out. And those are the people you should listen to the least. The guy that says, well, all they had to do was this, is always normally wrong because there's never been a simple 100% answer. Even
I've got one for you. Get it in writing. I've always
well, no.
Get it in writing.
Yes. Well, that's of course.
On both sides.
But
yes. Both sides.
But my point is the guy that said, well, if they'd have done this years ago, they could have saved all this. That's never the answer. Those are the people that know the least about college athletics.
I will say this. I think everybody has this guy in their life, right, that sends you the tweet, whatever the tweet is. Quarterback does this. Quarterback quits on team. And somebody will send you the tweet, and just under it will just have one word, like, unbelievable. You know? You're just like, what's the backstory here? I mean, is there an article? Like, do we do any research?
Any
like,
context?
Is it just the tweet? Like, are we just reading that? That's unbelievable? Because I don't think anything in college athletics is unbelievable anymore. It all happens so quick. So, yeah, we'll have that mic'd up as well. I got so many good stats to throw at you today as far as the Falcons and the Saints go, Rob. And then, unfortunately, we are not talking about the Braves and the Mets today because that debacle that Major League Baseball has allowed to happen is just...
Well, didn't the Braves also refuse to have an earlier start?
Both teams did.
The Mets refused to have this game done earlier in the season, from what I understand. And this is also a product, too, Rob, of the fact that they don't play each other as much as they used to, so there's a lot less makeup opportunity.
Right. Well, the game on April 10th probably shouldn't have been rained out. I went to a game earlier this season. Why is this game rained out? I don't get it.
And
it wasn't due to some apocalyptic frontal system coming in. It didn't seem like it. Seemed like they could have waited it out, but they didn't.
We had a couple of those early in the season, yeah, Rob. Yeah. And to your point, it's so frustrating when, you know, you just go ahead and wait it out, just get it in, or figure it out a way. It's bad on all fronts. What this does now, people keep asking me, what are they going to do with the pitching staff? Hell, I don't know. I don't know, but I don't know what they're going to do. They had this lined up perfectly.
Yep.
I don't know who starts Friday. Well, it's Chrisell. I honestly can't tell you. They're like, well, you got to line it up. I go, well, you know, you need these games against the Royals too, right?
You do.
So
everything could be decided by Monday.
That was the other thing. If after the first game on Monday, the playoffs are decided,
then
you're not playing the second game. The biggest thing the Braves have going for them right now is that the Diamondbacks, who did win last night, are now a game ahead of you, a full game. They play the Dodgers this weekend. And the Dodgers, I think it's the Dodgers, they play the Dodgers or the Padres. And the Dodgers and the Padres are in a battle for the NL West. And so that's your biggest thing, is that they might not be resting players. I'm pretty sure it's the Dodgers they play.
Well, hopefully Bryce Elder will pitch on Monday.
Is he still
around?
I'll say this much too.
I can see that happen.
I've had a lot of people, Bo, ask me about the pitching staff in my circles, and hey, you know, who starts here and who starts here. I'll be honest. I think the starting pitcher is actually secondary in the entire equation. Think about the taxing you will put on your bullpen.
Yeah.
If you have to play all these high leverage games this weekend, then a doubleheader Monday,
and then get on a plane to go to LA.
Like, think about what they're going to be asking of Raisel Iglesias over the next week. If all things went according to plan for the Braves,
right,
and you did have to play two games, like, you are taxing the crap out of that bullpen throughout the next week plus, man. That is going to be rough.
That's part of it. The Diamondbacks do play the Padres. Thanks, Dylan. That's good for the Braves that the Padres have a chance to win that division still a little bit. Although I think that could be decided. I think they're two games behind the Dodgers. It is, Mike, but you do get the extra man. I did hear, and we talked about this briefly yesterday, that Renato Lopez threw off a mound earlier in the week. He is eligible to come off today of the IL, whether he will or not. And I also think if you get that deep in it, You haven't used that one, and we'll talk to Grant about it. Ian Anderson still has that. You could call him up. It would use him out, but it would keep you from having to use like that call up. And so basically, an option is going off his career.
Do we know if Ian's on the 40 man?
He is.
Yeah, okay,
but so that you would use that call up, right? That option on him, that one that you have for this season. The reality is you wouldn't have to use a Bryce Elder. But then also, if Rondo Lopez is ready, you just throw him out there and just see what you got. There's no easy answer.
That could turn into a bullpen game since he's been idle and out.
You also have Grant Holmes,
yeah,
who I would trust more than Bryce Elder.
Same. Same. Don't give me any Bryce. I don't want the Bryce Elder.
And I would almost.
That's why I said that. That was satire.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know.
I almost. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. I almost
trust
that. Of course,
you can see it happening.
I almost trust it more, though, than Ronaldo Lopez at this point.
Well. All right. Well, there's a particular game going on Sunday inside Mercedes-Benz. 1 o'clock. The hated rivals coming in. The Falcons licking their wounds from that heartbreaking loss to the Chiefs. We'll get into that next. And what, there were some cuts? Is that what I'm seeing?
No, just sound.
I was about to say, what? Cuts? What are you talking about? That threw me. I go,
also, hey,
we're like 4 weeks in. There's no cuts.
Don't forget, Rob, there's also a Georgia and Alabama game this weekend. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that one might be going on as well.
Well,
so.
We've been getting some college football as well. Yeah, what's that, a 7:30 kick in Tuscaloosa?
Woo!
All that and more next on this cavalcade of whimsy known as the Morning Shift Sports Radio 1990 Game.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, morganandmorgan.com. Falcons Saints, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to dissect that. And Mike, you said you have some numbers that will blow our collective. Our heads will explode when we hear them.
I've heard his numbers. They're not that good. They're not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Wow. Just
I've heard his numbers. They're not great. No, it is. I got a
litany, just a whole list of stats that are just head-turning in terms of the Falcons, man.
One of the numbers when he told me, I literally wrote back, here's what I said to him was, what does that even mean? And then I gave a explanation of what I thought it meant. And after you talk about it for a while, I think it meant and it really got me back to what I first thought, which is, it's a good thing, but it's also a terrible thing.
Yeah,
it's also a terrible thing if you don't have consistency. It basically every drive comes down to one down, and it's not the down you think.
Yeah, no, and I think that we'll continue to do that throughout the show. I got so many stats coming out my ears over here, Rob. We could probably drop a couple big stats every segment, and I wouldn't run out by the end of the show, man. So it's gonna be a good one, man. I am shocked. I don't know if you guys are. I don't. Shock's a word. I'm a little bit surprised, Rob, that the Falcons come out in Vegas as a 1.5-point favorite in this game. I was a little bit taken aback by that. I thought that, and I think it goes back to Eric McCoy being hurt for the Saints and some of the other worries they have with Alvin Kamara and everything else.
But he didn't practice yesterday with ribs, right?
Yeah, so I think that probably gives you a little bit of insight into how Vegas is feeling about this game. I was a little bit shocked, though, to see the Falcons favorite.
Flak jacket and narcotics. He'll be fine.
which narcotics?
Yeah, which ones?
Well, be more specific.
Take your pick.
I always go back.
Call Dr. Feelgood. He'll hook you up.
Rob, correct me. Was it Casino where Ace Rothstein comes in and is like, yeah, I got a tip that, you know, the quarterback wasn't feeling well or something. It's like it was Robert De Niro's character. He was so well at reading because he knew what was happening with the actual players' lives.
Yep.
And that's why he was so good at doing games, and that's why he made the mob so much money. That's what I always think of. Always like when I hear Nick Underhill tweeted on Tuesday night, there should be some interesting. And I think he covers the Saints for the Athletic. Maybe I can't remember who he actually covers them for, but he said, "Hey, there's going to be some injuries that come out Wednesday that's going to surprise you about the Saints team that could make you scare you really." And then Alvin Kamara doesn't practice yesterday with the ribs and I think a knee or something else. And then all of a sudden, boom, really? Okay, well, what else is there that's out there? When Vegas makes that line, that's basically you get 3 points for being the home team, right?
Yep.
So Vegas has no clue really what to do with this game because of the Falcons and the Saints injuries.
So what does it mean when the George is favored by two on the road? Does that mean they're actually a 1-point underdog at Alabama?
No, they're a 5-point favorite.
They'd be a 1-point.
I've seen a favored by two.
No, what I'm saying is Vegas
they
thinks they're a 5-point
site,
favorite.
Vegas would be saying you're a 5-point favorite.
Well, here's the number for you. Alabama favored at home 113 consecutive games until Saturday.
I think, Rob, that I actually played in the last time, the game. The last time.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Who was the opponent?
2007. I think it was LSU who won the national title that year.
Was that the 5-4 game y'all played?
No, it was a little bit before that. That was the national title
11.
Run they had in Jacob Hester and all those guys in 07. Nah, man, it's it
didn't.
I'm so curious to see how that game pans out because it's a little bit of a strange feeling over there in Tuscaloosa right now. You really don't know what you have. You don't know at all what you have. I think if you're Bama right now, so
it's the Nick Saban effect to your point. Yeah. You don't know what Kalen DeBoer is in SEC games. This is his first SEC game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the wild thing for me. I didn't realize it yesterday until I went on that little mini rant during Which One Wednesday.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. It just hit me. I was like, hell, this is his first SEC game. That's kind of a wild thing. And he's got a quarterback in Jalen Milroe that you've kind of decided that you're changing the way you use him. Like, I feel like the way that Saban and company tried to use him last year is completely different than the first three games away.
Well, he's got
Kalen DeBoer.
He's got a new coordinator. Most of his skill position players are different too, for the most
part. Yeah, for pretty much all of them, honestly. You don't have much back at the skill positions or at the running back spot. Although you do have, I think the running back spot's actually improved for Alabama compared to what you were. I think Justice Haynes. I said this a couple of times. I think Justice Haynes out of Buford High School, Veron's son, might be my favorite player in college football. Like he is now he has to grow as far as, you know, third downs and everything else. But Rob, he's one of those people you get in space and he is unbelievable how electric that kid is with the ball in his hands. But to Bo's point, they've drastically changed what they're trying to do offensively. And I think last year what you had is you had Jalen Milroe running a spread offense. And then I think you got in tight situations and you do this against Georgia. And you run zone read, right? And you'd run some RPO concepts with a zone read, and Jalen Milroe would wait till the end, crash down, and then he'd pull it, and he'd run to the edge. And you saw it against Georgia probably 4 or 5 times. He gains 8-10 yards, gets a first down out on the edge. It just – Michigan came in with a good game plan for that, and they kind of forced Jalen Milroe back inside, with some of the leverage they played outside, and he, you know, couldn't overcome it, couldn't make plays in the open field with his legs. So it's a little bit different this year, Rob, in terms of the game planning that they have for Jalen Milroe. They ask him to run counters, and they let him run downhill. There's not a lot of perimeter runs out of the shotgun and everything else. It's like, hey, we're going to run a speed sweep action, and you're going to run the freaking A-gap like a running back. And so it's a different dynamic for a guy like Jalen Milroe this year. And I actually love it, although some people would say that, you know.
I love it for if I'm an Alabama fan, because I think it helps you win football games. I don't love it if I'm Jalen Milroe and wanting my future in the NFL. I don't think – I think that he's going to have to learn how to continue to grow in that part of the game as an NFL player if that's his goal. I think not making him throw those throws doesn't, you know, help him moving forward. Like, I don't think it helps him. I think it's what Tom Brady has said in a lot of ways where – and I don't like the terminology.
You're talking about the slants, the curls.
Yeah,
the
intermediate stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff in there, that stuff you're going to have to throw as an NFL player, and that makes it where you're not going to be ready. It's, you know, Tom Brady said about this, we're dumbing the game down for the young players, and then when they come to the NFL, we don't give them time to grow in the game. And it's like, hey, you were thrown in there like Bryce Young was done, and which I think you had to do where you drafted him for what you gave up. You had to play him. And then when things don't go well, you just quit on him. And you throw them away, and then their NFL careers are gone, in a flash.
See, to me though, that's not a Bryce Young problem. That's an NFL problem. Like that is because you have to do it now because the investments and eyeballs you have on the number one overall pick, they have to play now.
Yes, but it's also the fact that college football used to, it's if you ran a wishbone offense or whatever, it was pretty much a given you weren't an NFL prospect quarterback or you weren't a pocket quarterback. But if you went to schools like Michigan where they ran more of a pro style, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but you could make all those throws, you had a better chance of being in. You were a guy that looked at being an NFL quarterback. Eric Crouch left and was a safety, right?
That's right. They came back and made him a DB. Yep.
Yeah, and so I mean, Tommy Frazier. Now I don't even know if he went to the NFL. Like those guys that ran those type of offenses, but the guys that ran more NFL style. Now it's all one big, just mosh.
Well, let me back up. Here's what I would say to you. If he could make the throws and be consistent, I think they'd utilize the
But throws. I think he can. I think he showed progress last year.
Tell me one first-round quarterback, and there was a lot of them, that did not run a spread offense where everything was go balls. Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley's offense, Bo Nix, Oregon wide open. Michael Penix, for the love, running Kalen DeBoer's offense. This is what they all ran.
Yes, I
Jaden don't. Jaden Daniels. Holy crap, man. Go balls.
Yeah, they ran a lot of it, but you still have to progress. A lot of that is made easier if you're getting to practice those in real game experiences. And I say practice because, yeah, you're trying to win games. I just think it's doing a disservice to say we don't even want to ask you to do that. You're going to have to be asked to do that eventually. And it's a natural progression. And not everybody – that's why these guys take – look at Sam Darnold now. This guy was a bust. He was the same people that you turn on your radios and you listen to who are praising him for being a great player trashed him for years. Baker Mayfield is a perfect example of a guy who was trashed by the media.
Kyler Murray.
And now they're in love. Well, but see, Kyler Murray is still not there yet.
That's tough because he's close.
They look pretty good
this
year.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. How do you look Sunday, though? That's the thing. Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, how did Baker Mayfield look Sunday?
Well, yeah, but they're,
we can't nitpick that.
Okay, but Baker Mayfield looked that way all last year. So that's not.
But he looked what way all
last year? He looked great last year. He looked great. Baker Mayfield was good last year. Baker Mayfield showed that my point is that you make it where these guys have years to progress into that player. That's the only thing that you can say about the Michael Penix pick that looks really good right now is that, hey, he's going to have a couple years to learn, to grow.
Like I said, I think that is an NFL problem. I don't think that's college football's issue, man. Your job in college football is to go out and win football games, especially this day and age.
Well, it's easier now that you're paying these guys, yeah.
Exactly.
But guess what? You weren't paying over the table. You're only under the table payments were being made to guys like Baker Mayfield when he was at Oklahoma. Okay? So you did him a disservice.
Right.
All right, gonna come back. We're gonna hear from Falcons coach Raheem Morris. And you're gonna give us a couple of those mind blowing numbers.
I'm gonna sprinkle those in there.
Sprinkle them in there. We're gonna have Falcons seasoned with mind blowing numbers from one Mike Johnson. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 1990 Game. Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, morganandmorgan.com. If you have an axe to grind for someone that perpetrated pain upon you and your family. Welcome back to the Morning Shift, Triple In for Tiffany. Back with you tomorrow as well, and Monday, by the way.
Yeah, man. Just getting up.
Oh, that means I got a man up on Monday.
That's
normally
right.
I'm rarely held accountable for my frivolous rantings.
Yes, dude. Yeah, last week was a pretty good week for me and Bo.
Yeah, so we went a combined 6-2.
Yeah, the week before that, though, was a bloodbath. We went a combined 1-7 the week before. So,
yeah.
Well, you're losing your draft pick is what you're doing. Just keep winning.
Yeah, man.
I'm just trying to get back to .500.
It's been the good has been good, and the ugly has been just, that's what they say, Rob. If you're going to lose big. I mean, that's what we've been doing.
Falcons hoping to get to .500 on a Sunday with that 1 o'clock kick against the hated New Orleans Saints. And, oh, by the way, I will be back at the Signia by Hilton for the Falcons flyover around 5:30 or something, 6 o'clock, something like that.
Yep. So. Beers will be on you because we're going to win.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I'll buy them, then I'll just duck out on the tap like I always do. And I'll be all right. It's all good.
It's Seabass and the fellas offered to pick a more
time. Oh, Seabass said
nice,
that?
Nice, dumb dumber.
Well, if that guy down there at the end is Seabass.
That guy right down there is Rob Tribble, then yeah, that's him.
Wine him, dine him. Yeah, never mind. Okay. All right. Issues with the Falcons, we know time of possession's been a big one. Third down, certainly. Lack of sacks, too. I don't know. The defense has played pretty well.
Yeah.
I also think you've played Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes. And
now you're going to three drastically different types of quarterbacks, your classic dropback dudes for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think Baker can move around.
He can move around a little bit.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Honestly, most of them can't. The two outliers, I think, moving forward will be Dak and Jaden Daniels, as you look at the schedule right now. Other than that, Baker can move around. A number of them can move around, but it's like...
Well, Baker thrives in the chaos when a play breaks down. That's when he's actually pretty good.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think Baker's more in the mold of, you know, Patrick Mahomes than he is Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to take the opportunity when presented. So.
I agree. I think the thing that we don't think about, and I didn't really realize it, Mike, or Rob, until Mike and I were watching some stuff on the Kansas City last week before the game, they move that pocket naturally a lot with him. And he does, he's so, like, you don't realize that they're moving the pocket with Mahomes, but it's so slight, and he does it so, the way he does it is so fluid and just, just like, it's just like he's moving, but you don't realize he's moving.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he's, it's like he's just sliding
kind
across
of floating.
Ice. Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, well, a couple things offensively have gone well. Of course, you know, Zach Robinson's been in the crosshairs by a lot of people at this station, me included, just everybody for the most part. But things have gone well. That game-winning drive against Philadelphia and a couple things here and there. Let's hear from Zach Robinson on building on those drives.
No, 100%. That's what we're trying to be as consistent as we can at all times. And like I said, each play is each drive is kind of its own entity, you know, and just making sure that we're connected all as one. I thought that Philadelphia game, like you mentioned, like you could just feel all 11 connected the entire time. And that comes from us as coaches bleeding into these guys. So we certainly have our hand in a lot of responsibility with that. So, we're continuing to build chemistry as an offense as well. You know, these guys are getting a feel for each other. We've had a ton of reps banked in the offseason and training camp, but the games are, you know, naturally just a little bit different. So feeling what guys' game day demeanor is like, all those different things that go into it, I think these guys will just continue to get more comfortable with each other and continue to build on that execution that we're looking for.
Big takeaway from that, you're trying to cultivate some chemistry. I see that. That's obvious.
Yeah, and let me go ahead and drop this first number nugget on you guys, and this is one of the ones Bo was talking about earlier. All right, so stick with me when I say this, that 35% of Atlanta's sets of downs have actually reached third down. That's the lowest rate in the league. So that means they are doing a phenomenal job on first and second down of not even allowing it to get to third down, right? You look at it and go, dude, they've been so bad on third, but at the same time, you've won a game and you came within a score in another two games. So how has that even happened? The answer is that on 35% of your sets of downs, you didn't even allow it to get to third down. So that's pretty unbelievable. That's the best rate in the NFL.
That tells me that, you know, everybody – remember Jeff Collins came to Georgia Tech, and other than he had guys working out, he would say, you know, on the sidelines for a game, say, money down, third down is the money down. And it's kind of a thing that throughout – you know, football is like the third down is the money down. When I hear that stat, the most I would tell you that's great because that's, you know, if you get to a third down, the drive continues. But Arch talks about this all the time. The most important play, and it's for this team right now as an offense, is the first down.
Yeah.
Because if they don't gain a yard or they go backwards, if they don't have any success. The drive is immediately being killed, is what I'm being told. Because you're
ideally,
only,
what do you want? At least 5 yards, 6 yards.
No, dude, give me a second and six, a second and seven. Your own schedule.
Success on these early downs is. I agree with Bo, but when you look at like standing outs, they are usually measured on first and second down. Did you get half the line to gain?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you get five on first? If it's second and eight, did you get four? That kind of thing. So that's kind of how you measure those things. So I thought that was interesting because 35.5%. of Atlanta sets of downs have reached third down. That's the, like I said, that's the best in the league. But when they have reached third down, they've only converted, as we know, you know, 23%. So that is 31st in the league, which is not good. It's like once you get to third, you better score points before you get to third because it's bad.
More importantly, offensive line, the injuries. I mean, well, what's the latest on that?
Yeah.
Well, Dalman's on the IR.
Dalman's on the IR. Yep, he's gone for a while.
So you got Hennessy coming back and the practice squad, and you'll have Neusel. And I honestly think Hennessy will probably be elevated as a practice squad elevation.
You said that yesterday, and I don't necessarily disagree. I just think that that's quite a leap to consider he's coming off the street. Like, you don't really know what kind of shape he's in. And also, it's a different offense. I have a hard time believing you're going to walk right off the street and be elevated on game
day. That news will snap the ball left-handed.
Yes, he does. And I mentioned this yesterday. It was interesting to me. You saw Kansas City shift to three guys on the left side on some of their pass rushers. And I watched it, and I go, man, what kind of stunt are they about to run? Or at 3-by-1 defensive line. And then I realized what it was is just Chris Jones and those other guys were going to a snap hand. They were having to go unbalanced on the defensive line because he's left-handed, and they were attacking his snap hand. It's so much harder when you're snapping to get up and actually defend yourself with that arm when you're a center.
Well, there's a couple of little wobbly snaps, too, when you first came in.
Yeah.
That's an adjustment.
Yeah, and one of those was on Cousins, just bobbled it, just fumbled it.
Was that a testament to a left-handed snap, though?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was right in his hands. I mean, sure, maybe, but...
I'm sure it looks different when you have to make that switch in the middle of a drive.
I mean, I understand it, but if it's in your hands, it's in your hands.
I also want to highlight this because I told Dylon this during the game. This is an absolute no-no when it comes to offensive line play, and unfortunately, you don't ever think about it when you have injuries. But, Dylan, what's the one thing I said? I said, man, what happened to Drew Dahlman? And Dylan said what?
He got rolled up on.
Yeah, he got rolled on, and then what did he do right afterwards?
Oh, he hopped on one leg.
He
said it's a no-no.
Dude. And I cannot tell y'all this enough. That is an absolute freaking no-no. He's got to know better than that. That is an absolute no-no. Why? The last thing you want is to hop onto the sideline, then you don't get any injury timeout, and then Ryan Neuzel has no snaps with Kirk Cousins and is running on the field trying to get a center quarterback exchange right in the middle of a freaking drive.
And that was the beauty of what happened in that actual situation was the quarter end.
Yeah, the quarter ends, and then all of a sudden you're starting to get the snaps. I thought, like, I was like, dude, and I know that is a conversation they've probably had in the past. If you get injured as a center, you simply cannot afford to hop off the field. It is an absolute stage 10 no-no.
I'll say this, talking about offensive line injuries – we don't know what McGarry's status is, but I feel better with Storm Norton and Neuzel than I would if I was New Orleans, where they got McCoy, who is out. And now, as of what their plan is, based on everything they've said and what they did Sunday, they're moving Lucas Patrick to center because he's their backup center. And Ole Odu is going to be the guy who is a swing tackle in some ways, is swinging into left guard. So they're weakening two spots as well, and we're just bringing in guys that we've trusted as backups over the last few years.
All right, going to hear from Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson. Falcons getting ready for the Saints, and again, Falcons flyover live at the Signia by Hilton, probably around 6 o'clock on Sunday. Flagship station of the Falcons, Sports Radio 99 The Game.